me that I need water. And I remember vividly when H.K. Downey was speaking up in New Jersey, one brother who must have been 6'3", weighed a couple of hundred pounds, he very, very carefully tiptoed up to the platform and placed a glass of cold water in front of Mr. Downey. And as he tried to slip away without being noticed, Mr. Downey said, "Thank you, but I'm not a dry speaker." Mr. Poole has on various occasions suggested that if you have questions to ask him, and in his remarks this morning he said something about those of us that were old enough remember Charlie Fuller. My question is, who's Charlie Fuller?
I'll tell you later.
I'd like to turn with you this morning and read as reverently as we can Isaiah 53. Beginning at verse 1, or rather beginning at verse 13 of chapter 52, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which they had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. But who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." The word should be "expert in grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. For the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make thy soul, his soul, an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressions, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And God will bless to us this precious, holy section of God's holy word. We sang this morning, "Draw Me Near." How do I get nearer? Where would I go to get nearer to God? It's interesting that when Israel went into the land under the leadership of Joshua, you remember there were certain things they had to do, prepare themselves for the third day experience, and we may touch on those third day experiences later on. But their gathering place was Gilgal. And each time there was a need for recovery, they went back to Gilgal. It was a place where memorial stones had been raised up. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us a place of recovery, hasn't he? A place of remembrance, a place of memorial. He has given us the institution of the Lord's Supper. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. How will I get any closer to the heart of God, to the grace of God, to the love of God, than I will at Calvary's cross? Is it any wonder that the apostle could cry out, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ"? I hear people saying, "Well, it's just a gospel meeting. Just a gospel meeting." If you and I had what we deserve this morning, we wouldn't be here. We'd be in hell. And apart from the gospel, that's our fate, that's our destiny. But we come in to the good and blessing of the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is no wonder that the apostle cried out, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." We use a great deal of psychology today in our preaching. Even to the point of psychiatry, and I'm not finding fault with that. Those things have a place. But let's come back to what God's word says. "God forbid that I should glory save in psychology." No, not at all. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. John Bowling took up this theme, and he wrote these words: "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story shines and gathers round its head sublime." The Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus on that night that the rabbi came to see him, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And the poet picked it up and he wrote these words: whosoever will send the proclamation over vale and hill, 'Tis a loving Father calls the one for a home. Whosoever will may come. I wonder if we've got this vision, or are we settling down into this old world and getting comfortable in it? And perhaps you're like I am. In spite of my earlier remarks, I do remember things a long, 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 long time ago. And the aptitude of the human heart is to say, well, look, you've served your apprenticeship. You've been through the mill. You've done your bit. Sit back and enjoy the rest of it. The apostle, at the very threshold of death, he's still pressing home the gospel claims of our Lord Jesus Christ, is he not? God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He spent 18 months, the Apostle Paul did, with the saints at Corinth. And then he left them after he had established a church there. And sometime later he has occasion to write to them. And in his letter, you'll remember, he said to them, you will recall that when I was with you, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, if I said that, it would go right over your head. You would wonder, what's he getting at? Some of you may be a little more discerning, and you say, well, sure, that's all he knows. He can't go any further. But you couldn't say that about the apostle, could you? Here was a man who says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he was one of the greatest doctors of the law in his day, in the Old Testament religion. He was so qualified in every way, naturally speaking, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, far outstripped his peers, so much so that Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of the law in that day, invited him to come and sit at his feet and learn from Gamaliel. But that was only in the Old Testament religion. What about in Christianity? Is that all he knows? Oh, no, no. The apostle received one revelation after another. Beautiful revelations. He received the vision, the revelation of the risen, glorified Christ. And then later on he could say, I've delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It was another revelation. And then there was that revelation which had been a secret that had been hidden in God from the beginning of time. He said, it was given to me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to reveal the mystery of the church. And then he was given, was he not, that glorious revelation of the return of our beloved Savior. And then he was also given that tremendous privilege of filling up the Word of God. It was given to me, he says, to fill up, to fulfill the Word of God. Well, the only thing that was missing was the truth of the church. And he was given that glorious truth. So we couldn't say to him, well, Paul, the only reason that you determined not to know anything among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified was because you don't know any better. We couldn't say that of him, could we? Crucified, and nailed upon a tree with pierced at hands and feet inside for you, for me. Does your heart melt as you gather around the emblems that speak of our Lord Jesus? Do the eyes get dim with tears as you sit alone at home and meditate on the cross work of our Lord Jesus? John said in his record, now there was darkness over all the land from the sixth hour till the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Does your little heart leap when you realize that God the Father went both together to the cross? I hear people saying God the Father and God the Son relationship was severed. I don't think so. I don't believe it could ever be severed. The gospel is precise, and we need to know the truth of the gospel. You know, within 3 weeks I heard twice in two different places, in the giving of thanks at the Lord's Supper, people thanking the Father for dying on the cross. I don't find fault with people like that. I find fault with their elders that don't bring the teaching, the true teaching of the gospel, to bear upon their hearts and souls and minds. O solemn hour, O hour alone, in solitary might, when God the Father's only Son, as man for sinners to atone, expires. Amazing sight. The Lord of glory crucified. The Lord of life has bled and died. On the basis of these things, is the Spirit of God, is the servant of God, is the Word of God demanding too much when he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable, intelligent service. It's the only response that makes sense to become involved with this great subject. O mystery of mysteries of life and death, the tree, center of two eternities, with look, with rapt adoring eyes, onward and back to thee. O cross of Christ, where all his pain and death is our eternal gain. I heard of a man, and like all the rest of us men, there are times when in your life when you're sure you're not being appreciated the way you should. You're just a cut above the rest and nobody recognizes it. And you begin to feel sorry for yourself. And this dear soul, when he began to get those kind of thoughts, he would stop what he was doing. And he would lift his heart to God and say, "Dear God, if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now." And it brought him back on track again. Put him back on track. You see, the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ must permeate every facet of our lives. I stand at the cross and I'm grateful. I look up by faith. I see his bleeding, bruised, almost indescribable form. Then I remember what John said. He used 10 words to describe a scene that defies anything in contemporary history. He said this: "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." Your mothers, would you like to take your place? In front of a cross where your only child is dying? And especially if that only child is dying for no fault of itself? I've tried to probe the thoughts of this dear soul as she stood there. You remember that when she took the child Jesus up to the temple for the dedication ceremony, Simeon picked up the child and he blessed the child, and then he turned to her and he said, "And a sword shall pierce your soul." I wonder how many times in her life she thought, this is it. Would it not have been when the decree went out that all the children in the land were to be slain under 2 years of age? She must have said at that time, this is the sword. But by the grace of God and the will of God, they get past that. And then there comes an occasion when they're coming home from Jerusalem to Nazareth, and they've gone a whole day's journey, and they find that their 12-year-old son is missing. In a country like that, a wild, strange country, their 12-year-old son is missing. Must she not have asked herself, "I wonder if this is the sword that Simeon spoke of?" Or perhaps it was after he was grown and had gone out into his public ministry, and she heard rumors coming back, "Why, they took up stones to stone him today." Was this the sword? And another occasion, they tried to throw him over the brow of a hill and kill him today. Is this the sword? But now there's no doubt in her mind. She's standing by the cross of her beloved son. What a scene. A scene that is so filled with pathos, it defies description. Then John continues and says, "When Jesus saw his mother, and Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, and that disciple whom Jesus loved, then he spoke." The songwriter took this up, did he not? "Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand, the shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within a wilderness, a rest along the way from the burning of the noontide heat, the burden of the day." I take, O cross, thy shadow. This is my abiding place. Do we rest under the shadow of the cross, beloved in Christ? Oh, draw me nearer. How else can he draw me nearer than leading me back to Calvary? I take, O cross, thy shadow. It's my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. You know, I don't want to sound altruistic or anything of the sort. I have to stop. What other sunshine do I want than the sunshine of his face? The sunshine of a nice fat stock portfolio? Nothing wrong with that. But is that what occupies my heart? The sunshine of friends? I love to have friends. I always get a kick out of those signs on the back of your license plates here in Pennsylvania. I have a friend in Pennsylvania. I got a million of them. I take, O cross, thy shadow as my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Content to let the world go by. To know no gain or loss. A man my age came to me not too long ago. I said, how are things going? He said, well, pretty good. I could tell they weren't. I said, what's the trouble? Oh, he said, I see my principal shrinking. I said, what's your problem? Well, he said, I may have a few years to live yet. And I said, that's true. But I said, has God provided for you all these years? Oh, yes, he said. And I said, what makes you think he'll stop now? Yes, to know no gain or loss. My sinful self, my own shame, my glory, all the cross. Oh, brethren and sisters, we need to get into the gospel of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know something of the power of the gospel in our own lives and in our assemblies and in our neighborhoods. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't mean that he wasn't, he was afraid to, or not afraid to blush at the mention of religion. Didn't mean that at all. He meant that we have something of which we need not be ashamed. If a man fell overboard in a stormy night in a ship at sea, and all you had was a spool of thread to throw, you would be ashamed to throw it, wouldn't you? It would do no good. It would be a mockery. But if you have a good strong line, with a life belt on the end, you throw that, and you're not ashamed. It may not be a good-looking rope. It may not be a good-looking life belt, but it'll do the job. And we have something that will do the job. It will change the lives, the destiny, the course of men's lives by accepting Christ the Savior, by confessing their need to God and being washed in the blood of the Lamb. What we have is not only real, it's living. The Apostle Peter, he speaks of things that are incorruptible. He says, we have been born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You know, seed is incorruptible. They have found seeds that were centuries old in some of these archaeological digs, and they have planted the seeds, and they have seen them fructify and break out into life. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And then he said, if we trust it, if we believe it, we have an incorruptible inheritance, one that will never fade away. And then he said, you were not redeemed by corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood, the incorruptible blood of a lamb without blemish, without spot. They crucified three men. And in order to get them down from the crosses before the Sabbath day, the soldiers were given permission to go and break the legs of each of these three. They break the legs of the two thieves. And of course, when they did that, the body would slump. They would have no support, and the lungs would fill up. They would die. They came to the center cross, and they saw that he was dead already, because he had voluntarily dismissed his spirit. He had done the work which his Father had given him to do, and that work was your salvation and mine. And so he returned his spirit to God the Father. And when the soldiers saw that he was dead already, whether it was an act of frustration, perhaps we'll never know, but he took his sword and he plunged it into his side. And an actual medical phenomenon took place. Therewith gushed out blood and water. It should never have happened. It shouldn't have even trickled. If he was dead already, coagulation must have begun, but not for him. This is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. His blood is precious, it's incorruptible. And you and I are washed in it this morning. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're looking forward to a great future. We said last night one of the first things that the gospel will do is turn you into a servant. Don't mind that at all, because you may as well get used to it. People ask what we'll be doing in heaven. Floating around on a cloud playing a harp? I don't think so. God's word says his servants shall serve him. You know, I'll serve him in a way that I'll never regret. I'll never have to apologize for the way I'll serve him yonder. Neither will you. And what may be today a chore to some of us in the things that we're engaged in, they won't be chores there, they'll be privileges. To serve the Lord Christ. Four times over in the book of Revelation, we read that the 24 elders rose up from their seats their thrones. And they prostrated themselves before him that sat on the center throne. We won't go into each of them, but the first one is precious. They're all precious. But the first one, it says, they ascribe glory to him. And this is the reason. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and are created. And I read that, and I bow my head at the close of a day, and I say, I'm a created thing. How much pleasure did he get out of my life today? It's a good question to ask ourselves. I get a lot of pleasure out of life, but how much pleasure did he get out of mine? These are searching things. And they're all linked to the gospel, because all that we are and all that we have and all that we shall ever be throughout the endless ages of eternity, we owe to the crosswork of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father in God, we bow before thee, and again we must confess, we're not able for these things, they're too wonderful. But in thy grace, and in thy mercy, and in thy compassion, in thy love, thou hast brought them to us and sealed them to our eternal good in the blood of the Lamb. We pray, our God, that our hearts may ever be soft and tender to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross on which he died. For we shall see the marks of his passion in the coming day throughout the endless ages of eternity. We shall behold his hands and his feet and the marks on his visage, and we shall bow in adoring worship and render heartfelt service. O God, make it possible for us, in spite of what we are, to do that now. We ask all these favors in the precious name and for the eternal glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thou art worthy.